for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, November the 27th, 1987. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the teacher of the morning.
Well, we'll give Brother Tommy the rest of the morning and what of the afternoon he needs, and when we'll fill in or whatever we need in between if it's time for it. Amen. We don't, I know 12 o'clock is supposed to be lunchtime, but if it doesn't come around that way here, well, we don't get upset or perturbed about it. So this morning, Tommy's going to come and lay it on us. Brother Tommy Cook from over in Tulsa area, we bless him today.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that have come to this camp meeting, Lord. And Father, we ask that you direct us today as we share the word of God. Give us direction, illumination, quicken us by the Holy Ghost, and open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I woke up this morning and I heard the Spirit saying to me four things. He said the word demise, death, doom, and destruction. And I knew what he was saying. He was saying to me that there is an Elijah ministry arising in the earth. And he's going to bring demise, death, and doom, and destruction to the Ahab and Jezebel system.
Hallelujah.
Ahab is the political system, the beast system that's arising. And Jezebel is the harlot system that we see on the earth. And God is saying to me that Elijah is coming forth. Now, when I say Elijah, I don't mean a person, but I mean a body of people, an army of God. I remember Brother Pittman, when he died and went to the gate of heaven, one of the last things the Lord said to him, that he was raising up an Elijah army. And I believe that spirit that was upon John the Baptist is coming up on a people in this hour. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
None of us can say we are Elijah of old. I mean, know that men have died that said that before. That's a lie that Satan tells some people, that they are Elijah or they're one of the two witnesses. But it is a body, it's an army that God's bringing forth. And you know, Elijah, the Bible said, was of Gilead. He was a Tishbite. And many do not know what that word really means or actually where it was. And God is raising up men and women from nowhere.
Right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And, you know, regardless of where we're from, it doesn't really matter. And also, you know, Elijah wore a leather girdle, which means his lifestyle was low-key. And I believe God wants us to have a low lifestyle, if I can say that. I don't think we should live an elaborate, high lifestyle. I think we should live earthly, I don't want to say earthly, I mean we should live down to earth in our lifestyle and our living. Praise the Lord. But anyway, God is raising this ministry up. Now turn with me to the book of Acts. I'm not preaching on that this morning. We may before the camp's out if we get another opportunity. Praise the Lord. We got a word on it. Hallelujah. Turn to Acts 11. Acts 11. And I want to look at verse 19. And I want to read through 30. And I want to share some of these scriptures with you this morning as the Lord would direct me. Acts 11, 19. Praise the Lord. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen, travel as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you again for this word, and we bless it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now notice in verse 21, it said, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And then in verse 23 it says that with purpose of heart, they would cleave to the Lord. How many know the Lord is with you as you continue to be with the Lord? Now, there are nine things I want to share in these scriptures if I have time this morning, if the Lord allows me. Number one, the first thing is, there was a cross-culture of people here in verse 19 and 20. How many know that God is not limited by one race or one nationality? He loves everybody. Can you say amen? He desires to save all and use all that he can. Praise the Lord. You cannot be a Christian and have a Mason-Dixon line in your heart, a wrong kind. Praise the Lord. There must be no prejudice in our hearts as a Christian. And there's about nine or ten kinds of prejudice we have to fight against. Praise the Lord. But some of these people travel for many miles. And you know, for the word grace, you just have to put one letter in front of the word race, and that's a G, and you've got grace. Hallelujah. Grace will cover race all the time. Now look in Acts 17 with me just a second. Verse 26. Acts 17:26. It says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Praise God. For in him we live. Can you say amen this morning to that? Amen. We move. And we have our being, as certain also of their own prophet Apoch have said, for we are also his offspring. Praise the Lord. So there was a cross-culture of people here in verses 19 and 20. Notice back in the scriptures here in chapter 11, it says here that they began to flee because of this persecution that arose over the death of Stephen. And they were men of Cyprus, and they were men here of Phoenicia, and then some came from Cyprus and some from Cyrene. They came to Antioch. And if you look on the map, they travel quite a few miles to get to Antioch. How many know Antioch had a local church? How many know God believes in local churches? How many know we need to believe in some local churches? Where God places us by the Holy Ghost, and we're functioning and moving by the Spirit of God. So first of all, there was a cross-culture of people here. Number two here I'll point out in just a minute, but I want to show you something back in chapter 11. You'll notice in verse 21 it says, the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord. How many know the hand can speak of the moving of the Spirit, but it speaks also of apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And I believe God's hand's moving, don't you? Amen. How many know Elijah was praying and he told the servant to go see whether there was a cloud, and he went seven times and finally said, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. And I believe God has a hand ministry that he's raising up in this hour. You know, I heard a man say this one time, and I believe it. In 1950s, God raised up tremendous evangelists, and few are left even today from that era of time. And in the 60s, God began to raise up tremendous pastors and shepherds across the land. And then in 1970s, he began to raise up great teaching ministries throughout America. In 1980s, God's beginning to bring forth prophets in a higher dimension. And then in the early 90s, I believe we're going to begin to see apostles come forth. Hallelujah. In God. How many know we need some prophets and apostles in God coming forth? I want to tell you, I thank God for all the shepherds. I thank God for the teachers and the evangelists. But now we must have apostles and prophets that will bring the word of the Lord. Amen? And set the church in order. The church is like a scrambled egg. It's like an omelet. It's all messed up. Amen? But God's going to bring it together. Hallelujah. And I'm glad it's His job. Amen? And God's going to do it. He's going to restore. He's going to renew. And He's going to bring the church together. But it's, how many know God's going to move a few things here and there to get it done? So let's don't get in God's way here. He might remove us. Amen? So the hand of the Lord was, in verse 21, they came preaching the Lord. Now hear this. Now the hand of the Lord, and they came preaching the Lord in verse 21. And then in verse 21 it says they turned to the Lord. Amen? In verse 23 they were exhorted to cleave unto the Lord. And then in verse 24 they were added to the Lord. Who gets the glory? The Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord. He said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to do something. Draw men unto me. Praise the Lord. Now, in this church here, there was a large following. It was a large church, a growing church. A great number, the Bible says here, turned to the Lord because of the ministry that came to Antioch. How many know we don't need any more seminars to tell us how to grow? Church growth, we don't need that. I'll tell you what we need. We need a visitation of God. That's what we need. We need a visitation of the hand of the Lord, and the grace of the Lord will bring church growth. We don't need 15 people coming in and telling us how a church should grow. We don't need that at all. Go to Acts 2. I'll show you how the church will grow. Acts chapter 2. Let me show you this in the Word of God. Verse 43 through 47, the Bible will tell us right here how the church should grow. And in verse 43 of chapter 2 of Acts, fear came upon every soul.
Yes, amen.
And without the fear of God, you'll have no church growth. But when the fear, the reverential fear of God comes into us, brethren, hallelujah, it'll cause us to grow and, of course, reach out to others. Then in verse 12, look there in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says here, notice, in chapter 2 and verse 12, Is that the right scripture? Let me see here. No, that's not the right scripture. Just a minute. 43. Fear came upon every soul. Then in verse 43, notice, signs and wonders were done by the apostle. That's the supernatural. Amen? Out of the fear of God will come the supernatural. Then, notice in verse, there also in verse 44, and all that believe were what?
Together.
That's unity. That's unity. And then in verse 46, they were in one accord. So out of the fear of the Lord will come the supernatural. It will bring unity. Amen? And then in reason I'm having to stumble here, I got my verses wrong down here. Look in verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all the people. Now, that is a restoration of the favor of God within the people. How many know that some ministries today have lost the favor with people? But regardless of that, God is restoring, and God's going to restore the favor. Amen? Hallelujah. To the church of those that are outside the church. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and here it is, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So out of the fear of God comes the supernatural, comes the unity, comes church growth. But how many know there's something else comes with it? And I'll show it to you in just a minute. Look in Acts 5. Acts 5. We need respectability in the church and outside the church. In Acts 5, verse 11, notice, great fear came up on all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Well, Ananias and Sapphira just died. How many know that'll bring some fear? Right in the church. Amen? And then in verse 12, here's the supernatural. By the hands, notice the word hand, of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. So here's the supernatural again. Then in verse 12, It says that, again, they were in one accord in Solomon's porch. And then verse 14, notice, here's church growth. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. And if you read on down, you'll see that the sick were brought and put on beds and couches. Peter passed by and they were delivered and healed. Praise the Lord. And especially those that had unclean spirits, those that were vexed, were healed and delivered. How many know that God's still able to deliver us?
Amen.
Amen. And then in verse 17, there was one thing that we see that we didn't see so much in Acts 2, but in verse 17, notice, and the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. So church growth and unity, the supernatural, and all that's involved, will bring persecution. I mean, oh, Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so as we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for our sake, but for righteousness' sake, we'll enter the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, go back to Acts 11. The third point I want to bring out here is, there was submission in the Spirit. How many know we need to have submissive hearts? To God, as well as to man. Without God's hand upon them, there could be no turning to Him. Amen? Yet as they turn to Him, to God, they also must have a purpose of heart and mind to do something else. To cleave. And that word cleave means to be glued or to be joined unto the Lord.
Amen.
We know in the natural, in a marriage, we become one flesh.
Amen.
Somebody said the children have one good parent. But if the Lord, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So there has to be a turning to the Lord, but yet it's because of his hand, it's because of his grace. And there's got to be a purpose within us as well that we cleave, that we're glued to the Lord. Amen? God's not stagnant. God's moving, isn't he?
Hallelujah.
God's drawing. I don't care what it looks like.
Hallelujah.
They set their heart. They set their mind. They had a purpose of heart. There was an action on their will. Amen? To cleave unto him.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that word purpose, I was surprised what it meant. That word purpose there in chapter 11 in the scriptures here. That word purpose, in verse 23, where it's at, of chapter 11. That word purpose means a setting forth. It means a proposal of intention, but it means the showbread. That word purpose means the showbread in the temple as exposed before God. How many know that our purpose is exposed before God in our hearts today? And it also means showbread. And just as that showbread was there in the holy place on the table, exposed to the priest that came in, our purpose is exposed before God and yet before man. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many know there were three kind of manna, really? There was the natural kind that came out on the ground that they gathered every day. And it only came with the dew when the dew came every night. Dew's the type of the Holy Spirit. How many know without the dew, you'll have no manna? Without the dew of the Holy Ghost, there'll be no manna. And every man was responsible to gather the manna. Amen? Every individual was responsible to gather the manna. Praise the Lord. How many know there was no dew in Egypt? The dew came in the wilderness. You want to have the dew in your life? How many know you're going to be tested? You're going to be tried. And I say this every time I come here, Brother Miller, but I'm going to say it again today. You're tested five ways. Amen? Number one, you're tested by your faults, your failings. How many know we've all been there? Number two, we're tested by our successes. You're tested there. Number three, we're tested in the furnace of affliction. Number four, we're tested in this way. God leaves some of the enemy in your land to see what you're going to do about it. And number five, we're tested this way. That God withdraws our consciousness of his presence also to see what we're going to do about it. How many of you ever been in a place where you couldn't feel God or see God? And you were thrust head on into a situation with the enemy, just you and him. And yet God was there, God was looking, God was watching, God was seeing what you was going to do about it. I mean, oh, by faith and patience, we come through the problems into the promises. Amen? Hallelujah. So we are tested many ways. But yet here, there was a purpose. Now, I said there were three kind of manna. There was the physical kind that they went out and gathered every day. Then there was the showbread that only the priest could eat in the holy place. And then there was the manna that was put in the ark that only the high priest could go in once a year there into that place. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for his manna. How many know the overcomers are hard eaters? God's raising up the Benjamin Company, the son of the right hand. He was the last son of the 12. He was the only son born under the new nature of Jacob, our brother of Israel. Jacob had all the other children under the name Jacob. But when his name was changed to Israel, a prince of God, then he had Benjamin, the son of the right hand. Praise the Lord. And Benjamin, how many know, when he was revealed to Joseph, he was given five more changes of raiment, which is the number of grace. And he was given five more portions of food to eat than all the other half-brothers. And God's raising a Benjamin company up, hallelujah, of overcomers. And they're eating the hidden manna. Hidden manna means it you've got to uncover it. You've got to dig for it. You've got to find it. Jesus said, whoso finds me in Proverbs 8, finds life.
Yes.
In fact, Jesus said that few will enter this life. I'm talking about the fullness of the Holy of Holies now. I'm talking about the 100-folders coming in. Now, let me show you a scripture here. Turn to 2 Kings a minute. The Lord's bringing to me. Chapter 4, to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. How many know there was a harvest of barley, a barley harvest, and then there was a wheat harvest? Anybody know your Bible this morning? I said there were two kinds of harvest. There was a barley harvest, there was a wheat harvest. They were sold at the same time, but the barley would always ripen first, right before the wheat. And when the barley harvest was ripe, it was a sign that the wheat harvest, the general harvest, was coming in. God has a barley harvest on the scene today across the world called first fruits.
Amen.
Which are maturing first in God. Amen. They are overcomers, sons of God, all kind of names you can put on them. But they are men and women of God who are overcoming. Now here in 2 Kings 4, you'll notice it says, verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Shea. Notice a man. That was a natural man. God's raising a corporate man up, isn't he? And notice he brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. Anybody want to eat some first fruits today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need to. Bread of the first fruits. 20 loaves of barley. Notice the word barley. Notice, and full ears of corn. Not just the ear, not just the blade, but full ears. Not just 30-fold, not just 60, but we would say today, moving into 100-fold. Amen? And he said, full ears of corn in the husk. What does that mean? That means it's covered. You've got to take the husk off. It's got to be uncovered. And notice what he said. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. We need some first fruits today. Hallelujah. We need some barley today. Turn to Ruth. Sister Ruth. You know, it's strange. I went into Wisconsin not long ago where Linda and I go and Bill. And there was a man brought a message on Ruth. Another lady come in, she brought a message on Ruth. And I came in, I brought a message on Ruth. So three times in a row, they got a message on the book of Ruth. Well, I believe God was speaking some things to them.
Amen.
Well, how many know there was a family here in the book of Ruth? Anybody heard go to lunch this morning?
No.
Yeah, all right, well, you just go ahead. We're going to stay here a while.
Amen.
In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, we know there's a man here in a family. There's a man named Elimelech, And his name means my God is king. And yet, look at the last verse of the last book of Judges right before you get to Ruth. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I mean, without the king before us, we'll do that which is right in our eyes. And yet Amalek means my God is king. Now look in verse 1 of chapter 1. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now judges then would be equivalent today as apostles. We would say as the apostles ruled. That there was a famine in the land. Now that was a natural famine. But how many know we're not living so much in a natural famine in America? We're in a spiritual famine. For the hearing of the word of the Lord. Come on now. And he says here, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. And that means the house of bread and praise.
Yes.
I mean, no, we need some bread, but we need some praise.
Amen.
We need the word, we need the spirit. That is the two witnesses, whether you know it or not, in Revelation 11, in a people. The spirit and in the word in a people that's coming in Revelation chapter 11. That's the double portion. The double portion ministry will be those that will minister on that side of the veil and yet will minister on this side of the veil. Jesus said, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven, come on, and in earth. And he's raising the people into his own image. Now, he says here, they went to sojourn, in verse 1, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. How many know Moab means to be like father? And he was Lot's son through his daughter. And we see a mixture here, don't we? We see incest here. And yet they're going into the land of Moab, into the land of death. How many know there's a lot of Christians abiding in death today? In many ways. Now listen, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, God didn't tell him to go. He was looking at natural circumstances. And as a result, he went to Moab. How many know we want God to bless a lot of things we do? But if God is not directing by the Holy Ghost, he's not going to bless it.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. God did not tell this man and his family to go, but he went. Because he was looking in the natural. He's like we are. And in verse 2, it tells all of his family here. Naomi, which means my pleasant one. And then there's Malan and Chilion, his sons. And notice they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Notice they didn't just go there, they continued there. It's one thing to get out of the will of God, it's another thing to stay in it. Amen? Now, hallelujah. I won't go into all that, I can, but come on down to chapter, come on down to chapter 2.
Last verse of 1.
Yeah, last verse of 1? Okay, yeah, that's the one I want, okay. And then we'll go to chapter 2. 1:22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to what?
Bethlehem.
Now here again, they're hearing that God's moving again back in Bethlehem, Judah. So way down in Moab, down in death, they're hearing God's moving again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And there's bread back in Bethlehem, Judah. And that was natural bread. But we're looking beyond the natural today, aren't we?
Yes.
Yes, we're looking at the spiritual. And so it says they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest, which is first fruit harvest. Then we come to chapter 2. Come to chapter 2 just a minute. Verse 23. It says here, so she kept the fast by the maidens of Boaz, this is Ruth, to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of what? Wheat harvest. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. All right. Now, her mother-in-law, we know is Naomi, which means my pleasant ones. Ruth means truth and beauty. Now, look in chapter 3. Hallelujah. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? That's one of the keys in the book of Ruth, is the word rest. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. How many believe God's got a threshing floor? How many's been threshed lately? Now, Boaz is a type of Jesus. Now, Naomi is a type also of the Holy Ghost, even though she's a woman. She's a type of the Holy Ghost. She's given orders. She's given instructions to Ruth. In verse 3, notice what she says. She's telling Ruth this. This is what Naomi's telling Ruth. Wash thyself, therefore. How many know God's telling the church to get washed?
Amen.
Get sanctified by His Word,
yes.
By His blood, by His name, by His Spirit. Wash thyself, therefore, number one. Number two, and anoint thee. Get anointed.
Yes.
Put some eye salve on your eyes that you may see, church of the Laodiceans.
Yes.
And put thy raiment upon thee, which is His righteousness.
Yes.
And get thee down to the floor. That's humility. Go down. Come on now. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on the raiment, and get thee down to the floor, the threshing floor. But make not thyself known to the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Verse 4. There's a message in that verse 3. It shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place, or actually know the place. How many know he's preparing a place for us?
Yes.
You know what that place is?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells you right in John 14.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Father.
Amen.
And the Father is a spirit. He is a consuming fire. He is life and He is light. Amen?
Amen.
That place is in our Father. And in Revelation, John looked and saw no temple. And yet all through the Scriptures we're called the temple of God.
Yes.
But right at the book of Revelation, he saw no temple, for he said the lamp is not the light, but the temple thereof.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means there is a people that have been lost in God, covered up in God.
Hallelujah.
At the end of the age. You don't see them, but you see the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And just as that, there's nutrients in the soil out there, the plants eat that. The animal eats the plant, and man eats the animal. But yet man must be lost and covered up in
Hallelujah.
God. Praise the Lord. Now, here in chapter 3, notice what she's told. Know the place, mark the place where he shall lie. Now, at midnight, because that's what we're facing, midnight, we must be at the feet of Jesus. Or let me say it this way. We must be in bed with Jesus, not with the world, and not with the harlot system. And so she's going to be caught at midnight right here with Boaz. How many know that scripture? You know your New Testament. Mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and cover something. His feet. How many know he's the head today?
Yes.
We're the feet.
Yes.
Satan must be bruised under our feet shortly. And that means crushed. Not just bruised, but crushed. Under our feet. There is a feet company arising in the earth. Amen? Of men and women. Mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and cover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. I mean, old Boaz or Jesus is going to tell us what we're going to do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When? When you go to the place where he's at and you uncover his feet.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen.
I mean, old some Greeks said one time, sirs, we would see Jesus.
Yes.
Remember that? And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and come on and what? Die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth what?
Fruit.
Much fruit. You know what Jesus was telling those Greeks? If you want to see me, you're going to see me in the body.
Yes.
Because he was the Son of God that was planted in the earth by God the Father. And as a result, he's bringing forth a harvest of sons.
Yes.
If you're going to see me, you'll see me Hallelujah. First. You'll see me first in the body.
Hallelujah.
And then, of course, he's coming up there. Now, notice here, it says, verse 5, She said unto her, all that thou sayest to me I will do. Now this is Ruth speaking to Naomi. She becomes a type of the Holy Spirit. Naomi does. In verse 6, she went down to the floor and did all that she said. Now verse 7, she uncovered his feet and laid down. Verse 8, it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Verse 9, he said, who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt, which is the top of a mantle, over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. How many believe God's protection is coming to people at midnight?
Yes, hallelujah.
His mantle is coming over people at midnight. Now look in verse 10. He said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. How many know we've come to the latter end? What's God expecting of us? Come on. More kindness. More virtue.
Yes.
Now he tells her in verse 11, she's a virtuous woman. But come down to verse 15. Also he said, bring the veil. I mean, Rebecca had a veil before she went into the tent with Isaac. But how many know when she went in the tent, the veil came off? The Bible said we see through a glass darkly, but then it'll be face to face. How many believe he's bringing the people face to face with Jesus? No darkness. Amen? No shadows. Light. In verse 15, it says, bring the veil that's upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of what?
Barley.
Notice, barley, and laid it on her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And she went into the city. Now go back to chapter 2, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. How many believe evening time's coming? And beat out that which she had gleaned. There is a message in that, beating that out which we have gleaned. How many know there's mixtures in us?
Yeah.
How many know we've got to beat out those things that's not of God?
Amen.
From that which is God? And notice it was about an ephah of barley. Notice one ephah in verse 17 here. And then over in chapter 3, verse 17, verse 15, 6 measures. 6 and 1 is 7. 7 measures of barley. That is perfection. That's first fruits. Amen. Then in chapter 3, verse 17, and she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Hallelujah. How many know God's telling the same thing today? Don't go empty-handed. Take that what you have of me.
That's right. Amen.
To others. Let me show you that. Turn to Revelation 12. Haven't got very far in those 9 points, have we? It's all right. Praise the Lord. We may have 1, 2, 3 points, and God may go 3, 2, 1. In Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I mean, there's a woman here, and this woman is not in Israel. I want to tell you that. Natural Israel. I used to believe that and teach that. You know why it's not natural Israel? This woman's in the heavens. She's heavenly. Plus, she has a seed also coming forth. I mean, always put a seed in her, the seed of Christ. In verse 1, there appeared a great wonder or sign where? In heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. That's her glory. That's her covering. The moon's under her feet, so there's some authority and dominion. And upon her head there was a crown of 12 stars, which speaks of divine government, and 12 apostles of the Lamb. And at the end of the age, God's going to put, I believe, not on divine government in the church, but we're going to see apostolic authority coming forth in her.
Amen.
Amen. In verse 2, she, being with child, cried and travailing in birth and in pain to be what? How many are here today because you feel you need some deliverance of many kinds? How many is in some pain today too? Yes, you are if you're moving in God. Notice, she's with child, she's travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. There's some pain involved. And you women know what that is in the natural. And here, there is a woman travailing before God. Let me tell you, not everybody's travailing in the church. But there is a spirit-filled people in the earth.
Amen.
That are travailing before God and crying out against the abominations that they see and behold.
Amen. Amen.
And they're the ones God's going to see you, whether you know it or not. In fact, let me say it this way, brother. It's a hard word. There is a perfected people coming up from the Holy of Holies out now. There is a protected people, holy place people, and there will be destroyed believing people in the outer court if they don't press into God. The storm's coming, whether you know it or not. It's right down the road here, just a little ways. In fact, some are already at the edges of it.
Amen.
And it's coming. But we've got to press into God. We don't have the time we think we have. But in verse 3, there's another sign and wonder in heaven. It's the dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and so forth. Verse 4, his tail. And this, there is a tail ministry of the dragon. It's those prophets that teach lies, Isaiah 9 tells us. That's what it is. And those that follow those kind of ministries, the Bible said, are destroyed.
Yes, they are.
And in verse 4, the tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them down into the carnal realm. The dragon stood before the woman, notice, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And one morning I woke up and the Holy Ghost was saying that last phrase to me. As soon as it was born, God is bringing forth a son, overcomers, man-child people here, that's going to be born of the woman. Hallelujah. I mean, oh, when a mother's carrying the child, you can't, you know, they're one, that child's in the mother. And yet there comes a time of separation. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. The man-child is in the woman today. She is nurturing him. She's bringing him forth. But the time will come, God will separate him. Hallelujah. And yet, how many know he's not going to forget his mother? Hello. Now follow me. Verse 5. She brought forth a man-child who was to rule or shepherd all nations. Where's the nations? In heaven or here on the earth? Right here. With a rod of iron. That's authority. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's the barley harvest. That's the barley harvest right there. A child was caught up to the throne, to God and to the throne, taking them into a realm of authority they have not yet walked in, although they have authority. Now, it says in verse 6, notice, and the woman fled where? Into the wilderness. How many know that's not a physical, geographical, wonderful area?
Right.
You can get the whole woman there anyway. Worldwide, this woman's fleeing to the wilderness, prepared of her God. That they, look at the word they, T-H-E-Y, they. The word they are those in verse 5. That they should what? Feed her, nourish her. There are 1,203 score days, and that's 3.5 years. Now, I said a while ago at the start, there was a ministry that's going to bring the demise, the doom, the death, and the destruction of Ahab and Jezebel. How many know that in the days of Elijah, there was a famine 3.5 years?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And everybody's looking for Elijah. How many know God sent him down to the brook Cherith? And that word means to cut. How many believe God's cutting away some flesh?
Amen.
And then God said, when the brook dried up, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've commanded a woman there to sustain you. And yet God hadn't told the woman yet. And the word Zarephath means to burn. If it's a furnace, it means to burn. And what God doesn't cut away at the brook, he's going to burn and consume it up. It's Zarephath. And I want to tell you, God's cutting some things away and God's burning some things up because he is a consuming fire.
Amen.
And he's given us beauty for ashes in this hour. Amen? If we'll take hold of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, it said they were to feed her there 1,203 score days. Praise the Lord. The tribulation is not 7 years. I was taught that, but it's not true. The tribulation is 3.5 years. But how many know tribulation leads up to tribulation?
Right.
But there is a woman going into tribulation. But there is a people that's been caught to the throne, the overcomers, that's going to feed and nourish her and sustain her and equip her through that terrible time. I don't know how you've been taught, don't really care. I know how I'd been taught, how God had to change me.
Amen.
And I don't try to change nobody. That's the Holy Ghost's job. But I know the church is heading for trouble. And the majority of the church is heading for trouble. But thank God he's raising a people up that's going to equip and sustain and teach and minister and nourish her in the hour of trouble.
Amen.
And I thank God for the overcomers. Amen?
Amen.
That he's raising up.
Amen.
Many are called. Come on.
You're chosen.
And the word chosen means the elect.
The elect.
God has the very elect coming forth around the world. God knows who they are. God knows where they are. How many know we're part of that group? We better not let pride come in, or we might not be part of them at all.
Right.
We better love everybody, hallelujah, and extend our love to people whether they believe like we do or don't. We must love them,
amen.
Praise the Lord, and show love to them.
Amen.
And so, we can see right here something going to happen. Now look in verse 7, as a result of verse 5 and verse 6. Now in verse 5, the man-child is caught to the throne, and in verse 6, the woman's in the wilderness, and the man-child is ministering and feeding her. You see, notice in verse 6, and the woman fled because of verse 5. And verse 7, notice something else, and there was war in heaven.
Yes.
The war in heaven comes because God takes this one to the throne. Now let me say it this way. One's going up, one's coming down. The overcomers are being taken to being dethroned. Aren't you glad? And verse 8, speaking of Satan, he could not prevail anymore. There was no more place found for him in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into what? The carnal realm. And his angels were cast out with him. Now look at verse 10 when this happens. When the man-child goes up, the woman goes in the wilderness, and Satan comes down. Notice in verse 10, now is come salvation. Well, how many know salvation means deliverance?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Amen.
Now has come salvation. Now has come deliverance. And strength. And the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused him before our God. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. Love not their lives to death. Now, Jesus said in Luke 10... He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. You know why he said that? They'd just been casting out devils in his name. They were rejoicing. And he said that very thing to them, which I believe he was saying, look out for pride. How many know when God starts using you and me, if we're not careful, pride comes in.
Amen.
We got to go down, brethren.
Yes.
We got to humble our hearts before God. Amen. And so Jesus said that. Now, he was attributing that with the casting out of demons. And I believe that is one thing that we've missed. That in this end time, I believe it's going to come so much deliverance in the church, it's going to bring Satan down. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, you can put Satan on one side of the scales over here. And yet, you can begin to deliver on this side, taking those demons out of people. How many know at first it doesn't look like you're making any headway at all? But you begin to get those spirits out of people. You begin to clean people's life. How many know the weight's going to add up sooner or later? And for long, brother, that scales are going to tip. He's coming down. Hallelujah. And through the deliverance ministry, I believe it's going to have a lot to play in this coming down of Satan, Brother Miller. Hallelujah. And I believe it's going to fall. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's go back to our message. In Acts 11. The last point I said, they were submitted in the Spirit. Number 4, they were visited in Acts 11 by the grace of God. Without it, there is no salvation for us. Isn't that right? When he came, Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, it says in verse 23. That means you can see the grace of God. He was glad. That brings gladness. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. So you can see the grace of God. You can see that it brings gladness and it'll bring exhortation, but it requires a commitment of God's people.
Amen.
Now look in Psalms 102. Psalms 102 in God's Word. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 102
in the Scripture. 102. And look at verse 13. David said, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon somebody, Lord."
Zion.
Notice he didn't say just Jerusalem.
That's right.
Or Israel, but Zion.
Amen.
Jerusalem, I mean, Israel is the out-of-court Christians today, we would say. Jerusalem's a holy place, Christians, but Zion speaks of the sons.
Yes.
And yet he said, you'll rise, Lord, and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. There's the grace of God. Yea, the set time is come. There is a set time that God will favor the Zion people. Verse 14, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. I mean, oh, we're lively stones. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. You know why they're going to see it. Verse 16, when the Lord, here it is, when the Lord shall build up Zion.
Hallelujah.
When he shall build up Zion, the Zion people, he shall appear in his glory. Now, first of all, you're his glory. He's going to appear in you first, as well as out there. He will not come out there until he comes in a people.
Amen.
He'll come in the fullness in this hour in his people, and then he'll be seen out there. Thank God. Hallelujah. But it says here in this scripture that he's going to build up Zion, and he's going to appear in his glory. Verse 18, this shall be written for the generation to come. It was a generation marked and X'd out, I believe, that David saw. A people of the end of the age, hallelujah, that was created to praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's going to be a praising people, hallelujah, that God expressly created. That he's going to bless them. Hallelujah. And appear in them. It is the Zion company. Hallelujah. The sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Of this age.
Hallelujah.
Now, he said, verse 20. Look at verse 20. He looked down and he to hear the groaning of the prisoner. How many know God heard Israel's groaning in Egypt?
Yes.
God is hearing our groan.
Yes.
There is a groan at the throne, isn't there, brethren? There is a people travailing. There is a groaning within a people.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about natural prisons behind bars necessarily, although there are people there. But he said to hear the groaning of the prisoner, and their heirs in us were all prisoners. Having over the last enemy is death. Now notice what he said, though. To hear the groaning of the prisoner and to loose those that are appointed to death. Yes, the Bible said it's appointed once to death and after this the judgment. But I'm telling you, there is a people marked out by God that will not die. There is a next generation, hallelujah, a Zion people that's created to praise the Lord. Amen. They've had appointment for death, but God's going to loose them from that. Hallelujah. God knows who they are. God knows the time and all that. And I don't preach never die. I don't preach that. Because those who preach it, many are in the grave today. But there is a people that will not die.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In God's time. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, go back to Acts. Well, let's go to verse 21 there, first of all. To declare the name or the nature of the Lord in Zion. And his praise, hallelujah, even in the holy place, Jerusalem. Amen. Now let's go back to chapter 11 of Acts. We want to look in chapter 11, and the fifth thing is, I want to bring out to you, they were ministry-minded here in Antioch, this church, this people, the hand ministry. And we see back in verse 20, some were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, and they come to Antioch preaching the Lord Jesus. And then Barnabas came and was received by this people. And how do we know that Barnabas, it says here, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And I believe we need to be good men and women if God,
amen,
good in God, God's goodness in us, the fruit of the Spirit, and yet be filled with the Holy Ghost and full of faith. You know, Barnabas, it was him that received Paul when others rejected him when he first came to God. Barnabas was called the son of consolation, the son of comfort. And as I said, he was a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And it was actually the church that sent him down here to Antioch. It says they sent him. And if you'll check that word they out in other scriptures, you'll see that especially the apostles had something to do with that. And yet, here comes a man full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, and he was also a giver. How many know he had some land? He sold it and gave it to the apostles too. There's a lot of good qualities in Barnabas. We hear a lot about Paul, but we don't hear too much about Barnabas. He was a teacher, and here in Acts 11, he's a teacher with Paul. He's a prophet as well in chapter 13. And in chapter 14, he goes out with Paul into the apostolic ministry. He's also an exhorter, and how many know he believed also in John Mark, if you know your Bible? Praise the Lord. Now, this church in verse 25 and 26, notice it says, Then Barnabas departed to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And of course, he brought Saul back. And for a whole year, in verse 26, they assembled the church together and taught much people for a whole year. Praise the Lord. I believe we need some real teaching ministers in the church. Amen? Men and women that's called by God to teach the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And then, of course, as I said earlier, many have lost the respect for ministries today in many ways. But I believe God will restore that. Hallelujah. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. Praise the Lord. We got a lot of time yet. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you, notice, in the Lord. You're not a doormat.
That's right.
But they're over you in the Lord. And admonish you. That means a slight rebuke. So there's times we need to be rebuked too, with love. Verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. 1 Timothy 5. Let's turn there. 1 Timothy 5. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 5, and look at verse 17 in the Scriptures. Notice what it says. Let the elders that rule well, those that take the lead, be counted worthy of something. Double honor. How many know that word honor also speaks of taking care of them materially and financially? I said, did you know that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I won't get into it, but I can show it to you. Especially they who labor in the word, that's preaching, teaching, and doctrine. For the scripture said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And the labor is worthy of his reward. And you've got to muzzle elders because somebody's not taking care of that elder if he's doing his job. Our elders. Hallelujah. All right. Now, how many know the church had to have some confidence and respect for Barnabas to send him down to Antioch? They sent him to Antioch. Hallelujah. They had to have some respect for this man of God. Okay. 19. Yes. Now they which were scattered abroad, is that it? Read it. Read it, Brother Miller. I've already turned. Read it.
Against an elder, receive not an accusation.
Yes. Go ahead.
But before two or three witnesses.
Okay.
Now then, you got it. That, you, where'd you stop? That wasn't enough.
Yeah, I know that. I stopped purposely. I was there. Hallelujah. But I'm glad we brought it up. Praise the Lord. Now.
I was talking about where he stopped.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he says, don't bring an accusation against an elder except by two or three witnesses. How many know Satan's still the accuser of the brethren? Amen. Now, if you can get people, if you can get people who will receive the ministry that God sends, whoever they may be, who will bring the Word of God to you, how many know you'll have a move of God?
Amen.
Amen? Now, go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 40. Jesus said in verse 40, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. Let's turn that around. Those that reject you, when God sends you, who they're rejecting? They're rejecting Jesus. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me, Jesus said, receives him, the Father, that sent me by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a promised reward that's natural and spiritual both. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles. Let me show you what people aren't healed today. I believe in healing. I believe the Lord provided it for us. But I'm going to show you why some people are not healed. Because they reject the ministry. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15 and 16. It says here, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them, to his people, by his messengers, and these are the prophets, rising up betimes, that means early, sending, because he had compassion on his people.
Compassion, amen.
Number two, and on his dwelling place, that's you and me, we're his dwelling place today. But notice verse 16, here's what God's people did. Number one, they mocked the messengers of God. Number two, they despised his words. And number three, they misused his prophets.
Amen.
Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no what?
Amen.
Remedy. The word remedy means no healing.
No healing. Amen.
No cure. How many know people will use the ministry the wrong way if they can sometimes?
Amen.
And I have people coming to me and tell me I should do this and that. Until I can hear from the Holy Ghost, I can't do anything. I mean, if you're going to listen to people all the time, you'd go crazy. But I've learned to tune them out. Hallelujah. Until I can hear from God. And when I hear from God, I'll move and do what God says. But you can't please every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And I don't try to. But I want to please the Lord. Amen? Now, I want to receive correction. I want to receive a true word that comes to me from the Lord. But, brethren, I want to tell you, we have to be cautious here. And careful here. All of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn to Jeremiah 18. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 18. And there's some people in this service today that's helped me in some of my hard trials. And I thank God for them. Because we all face tribulations, don't we? And sometimes we need help from others. We can't make it alone sometimes. We need others to help us. In Jeremiah 18... here's a prophet. Now, I want you to follow me. We're talking about receiving the ministry. In chapter 18, God says to Jeremiah, verse 2, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'm going to cause thee to hear my words.
Amen.
But how many know that's the very place we fight against?
Right.
The potter's house. Because God's going to put us on the wheel, and he's going to reshape us and mold us into the vessel and the instrument God wants us to be, not what we want to be. And I want to go into all the details there. Verse 5, the word of the Lord did come to him. But look down in verse 18. Here's where we're coming to. Verse 18. Then said they, this is God's people, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah.
Yes.
That's the prophet. Well, Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices. How many know if you're going to devise a device against a prophet, it's like putting a rattlesnake in your hand. Or against any person, as far as that goes. Notice, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, they said, number two, let us smite him, Jeremiah, with the tongue.
Uh-huh.
And three, let us not give heed to any of his words.
Right.
Well, how many know they were not Jeremiah's words? God said, you go down to the potter's house, then you'll hear my word. You'll hear the rhema word. And yet they said, no, we're going to devise devices. We're going to speak against him with a tongue. We're not going to listen to his words. I want to tell you, we've come to an hour. It may cost you your life if you don't hear the prophet or whoever God's using. It may cost you your life if you do not hear in this hour the men and women God's sending and raising up. If they bring a word from God, don't reject it in your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go back to chapter 11 now. Just a few more things here quickly before we go to lunch. The sixth point is, in chapter 11, they were called Christians first in Antioch. They were called Christians. But notice, in chapter 11, verse 26, I want you to see something here. Hallelujah. Down at the bottom of verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They became believers back up in verse 21. But now they're disciples. There is a difference, isn't there?
Yes.
There's spectators, there's believers, and there's disciples. And here, these disciples, brethren, are called Christians. Notice, by the way, they were not calling themselves Christians. Hallelujah. But they were called Christians first at Antioch. A disciple is a learner. And he's one who's under God's discipline. How many know we're not man's disciples? We're the Lord's disciples.
Amen.
Jesus said, you are my disciples if you bring forth much fruit.
Yes.
In John 15, there's fruit. There's more fruit, but there's much fruit. And those that bring forth much fruit, he said, you are my disciples. So we are his disciples today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Peter 4:16. And notice what it says. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, which shows me you will suffer as a Christian.
Yes.
If you're a disciple. But how many know we need to know that what kind of suffering it is?
Right.
How many know Jesus provided for sin to be dealt with? He made a provision for sin, sickness, disease, come on, poverty and death, didn't he? He said right here, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
Yes, glorify, amen.
Not only in the gift, back here if you'll read, we were to glorify God in the gifts, but even also in the testings, we were to glorify God. In Acts 26:28. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Acts 26:28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, I think all of you know this story, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But how many know almost is not good enough?
Right.
I bet he wishes today he had become one. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, number seven, the seventh point. The people here in Antioch received and responded to spiritual gifts. They received and responded to spiritual gifts. Go back to chapter 11 and verse 27 and 28 of Acts. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. From the mother church down to Antioch. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. Agabus means a locust. How many know God wants to destroy our pea patch too? And he'll send them prophets to do it. There stood up one of them named Agabus and signified or prophesied by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or famine throughout all the world, which came to pass, I want you to notice that, in the days of Claudius Caesar. Hallelujah. Not only did the people receive the minister gifts, but they received the gifts of the Spirit through the prophets. Now, first God sent the teachers to teach the Word. Now He's bringing in what? Prophets. And in Acts 13, again, we see teachers and prophets, or prophets and teachers, in Acts 13. And later, two of them becomes apostles. How many believe there's a progression in God?
Amen.
You're not going to jump from first grade to 12th grade, are you?
No.
God has a progression. There's teaching, there's prophets' ministries, and then there's apostolic ministry.
Yes.
In God. Now, these people did not quench the Spirit. They didn't despise prophesying. They didn't grieve the Holy Spirit or vex the Holy Spirit. They were open to the Holy Ghost. Did you know God can become your adversary if you vex the Holy Spirit?
Right.
That's what it says in Isaiah, that God's people vexed the Holy Spirit, and God became their enemy and fought against them. God gave me a word one time on being our adversary. I'd rather be on His side, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. Now, these gifts we know will stir you up, cheer you up, and build you up. But it came to pass what was prophesied. How many know that a real prophet, if he's got some traction, how many know you can look behind him and see things come to pass he's prophesied? Amen? Hallelujah. So they received, now the ministry, they received the gifts. Now, eighth point, two points left here, real quick. The eighth point is they were responsible in giving. They were responsible in giving. No one is excluded. All's included. Because they received that word of the Lord from that prophet, they acted on what that word said. Amen? Look back in verse 29. Then the disciples, notice that word again, every man according to what? His ability. How many know some have greater ability than others? Some can give more than others. Determined to send relief. How you spell relief? Anybody get this on tape? Notice, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Turn back to Acts 2 just a minute. Verse 43. Again, we read this a while ago, but look in verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were what? Together?
Amen.
Had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So the fear of God will cause people to give, won't it?
Amen.
Then Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. There was a marriage there. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. One time a lady said to me, I'll give away anything except two things. My big mirror and my television. Well, she dropped the mirror and broke it. Lightning struck the house and knocked the television out. And she, she learned a lesson from then on. It wasn't hers, it was God's. And God said, give it, she would give it.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, he can knock your TV out right quick.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Some people's already knocked theirs out, I guess, by shooting them out, but... All right. Look in verse 30, Acts 4 now. Look there. In Acts 4, verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Anybody lacking today? Of course, you know why it is? Because people aren't listening to the Holy Ghost. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made to every man according as what, brethren? As he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it. We're talking about this great man of God today. And brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Praise the Lord. Show me a giving church. I'll show you a church that's got some word in them. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, go back to, in closing, last point. Acts 11. The people here trusted two men. These two that came to teach, Barnabas and Paul, to take the offering to the brethren that were hurting in Judea. How many know, again, some in the ministry have lost the trust of the people? There is a false prosperity in the land.
Yes.
But there is a truth.
Yes.
One is of the beast, Antichrist. One is of Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We better know the difference.
Amen.
But they trusted two men. In verse 30, it says here, they sent this relief, it says in verse 30, which also they did, and sent it by the elders, sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Praise God. Yes, there was a trust in ministry there. This great dearth, we said, was throughout all the world. But how many know we were not dealing with the whole natural world? But we were dealing with Judea, because that's where they sent the money to the brethren in Judea. Paul and Barnabas couldn't take it to the whole world anyway, could they?
Right.
But they took it to those in need in Judea. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So they trusted in the ministry to deliver this money to the people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for... We thank you for brethren like Paul and Barnabas. And prophets, Lord, that was received by this church. And God, the great minister that went out of that church, even to the known world at that time. And God, I thank you in this hour that you're raising up those that are respected and those that's not going to be a Balaam or a Jezebel. Hallelujah, to rip and destroy your people. But they're going to be men and women of God that you can trust, Lord, and that the people can trust. And God, I thank you for Brother and Sister Miller that you put here in this camp.
Yes, Lord.
And God, the people can trust because, Lord, you've laid a charge upon them. You put responsibility within them, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, they're not running after the filthy lucre, but they're running after you, Lord. And they're putting your money to work right here in this camp where others can be delivered and set free, Lord. God, I thank you for them, and I thank you for the people whose eyes are becoming open in this hour. God, to the true and to the false, Lord. Give us all discernment this day, I pray, Father, and quicken us in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Amen. Let's praise our God this day. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, my people. Know that the Lord God is with thee. Know that the Lord in this hour truly does raise up a people that's anointed and a people that shall be loved and respected, yea, that will come forth in my image. Yea, know that my hand is upon thee as thou stretched unto thee this day, my goodness, my love, and my mercy.
Yes.
So receive thou my compassion and my love towards thee, my people. For surely this is an hour and a time that I draw near the climax of this age. And I, the Lord thy God, do visit thee. So those of you who have been discouraged and have been hurt in spirit, know that I shall restore thee, saith the Lord. And I shall not only restore thee, but I shall restore thee tenfold, saith the Lord. And I'll cause you to inherit the land. For surely this is an hour and a time that I visit thee, saith the Lord. So set not your eyes upon the trouble, but set your eyes upon the Lord. For I, the Lord, do behold the earth and the chaos and the darkness. But I've said at that hour, my glory shall come upon thee. So rest in me and know that my hand is upon thee. Yea, that my visitation does come. Do not miss my visitation, saith the Lord. For I shall come in an hour, yea, even that you would not expect. And I shall visit thee in my way. So open your heart and receive it, saith the Lord. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.